Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. Ed Maher, National Coalition of Labor. Phil Davidson, Limping Phil Davidson. Mid-America Carpenters. Phil, what happened? You got a boo-boo?
I was dunking a basketball.
No.
360 tomahawk.
No, you weren't.
Saving a bunch of drowning scouts from a river, raging river.
I'll give the story. Phil broke his ankle playing 16-inch softball.
Yes.
Well, it's slightly less heroic, Phil. Yes.
I don't know that I've seen anybody ever have any injury playing 16-inch softball.
I tore my rotator cuff playing dodgeball when I was like 23, and I quit sports forever.
Which is surprising because it's a sport where normally you drink beer while playing it.
Right.
Yeah, you can smoke while you play.
Phil, is that what happened? Like, will you like hold my beer?
Pretty much. No, I instinctively tried to save a run and stop a ball, but I did it in the laziest way possible, and I tried to kick a ball.
Lazy even by softball standards.
Wow, Phil. Way to go.
Rolled my ankle, and next thing I know, I got a hairline fracture.
How do you like that? All right, listen. We have a cool show today because it's high time that the Teamsters Local 916 got a contract at their cannabis facility.
Okay.
So we're going to be talking about that, and they're on strike. And we have plenty of weed jokes
to make. I've always been curious about how unions work in the weed industry.
We are about to find out.
Good.
So they're on strike, and we have one of the business agents, the vice president of Teamsters Local 916. And then we also have a worker bee who works directly in the facility that's walking the picket right now. And it's just fascinating to hear what she has to say. So we got that coming up. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Local 916 about this cannabis strike, and then we're going to get into the rest of the show. Holiday weekend here, brutally, brutally hot over the week, and we'll talk about that too in a second. But listen, we'll come right back with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. Listen, we talked at the top of the hour. We have with us Kyle Bollinger. He is vice president and a business agent for Teamsters Local 916 out of Springfield, right, Kyle? You guys out of Springfield?
That's correct.
Springfield, Illinois. And Vivian, yep, who works for Ascend at the cultivation facility, right? It's a place where they grow all the marijuana that supplies stores, et cetera, et cetera. And Vivian's been working there for 2 years. So welcome to both of you guys. And the reason that this is newsworthy is you guys are on strike right now, right?
That's correct. Yeah,
all right. We're out on strike. So give us a two-second overview, Kyle, of you know, organizing contract negotiations and what led you to go on strike.
Yeah, we started with the transport drivers. They reached out wanting to organize with the Teamsters, and once that started, spread department by department with everybody getting on board and wanting to organize also. We got down to we ended up getting recognition for those groups, but they were excluding cultivation. They wouldn't give us cultivation workers because they fell underneath the Ag Act.
Okay.
So myself, Casey Case, went to New York and met with the company and let them know that we were going to represent the cultivation workers. Any worker that wanted to join the Teamsters Union was not going to be left behind. And if we had to strike them with the other groups to get recognition, that's what we would do. The company ended up agreeing, and we got voluntary car check recognition for the entire facility. So we are wall to wall Teamsters.
How many members?
A little over 300, about 325, give or take a few. So
okay, yeah. So it's interesting, right? You get voluntary recognition, and you would think, oh, that's a positive sign,
yeah,
right? They didn't make us go to an election. They didn't make us drag us through the courts. They didn't, you know, claim supervisory, this, that, and the other thing. And then you start negotiations, right? So when was that, Kyle?
We began negotiations in May of 2025.
Got it. And that's been now, so we're a year and change into this thing, and right. You have not gotten a contract.
Right. No, we have not.
Okay. And what are some of the sticking points?
Some of the key sticking points that are still out there, we have some mandatory protection language that goes into every Teamster contract.
Yep.
That they had been given notice, our protection of rights language. It's mandatory. And they are refusing to agree to that. They are also refused to bargain anything over this insurance, their health insurance. Nothing on retirement. They won't consider any kind of Teamster pensions or any other retirement plans. They've flat out refused. Overtime is a huge issue here, so we still have that on the table. They work a lot of long hours in the beginning of the week and then get close to the 40 hours where they're going to get into the overtime, and they start cutting them out of hours and sending them home to keep them out of it. So, our push is for overtime after your daily shift.
Yep.
That they're just absolutely refusing to discuss.
Yeah. These all sound very familiar to me. So here, and I just got to interject. I will say this forever until it officially gets either vetoed or shot down by the Senate. And that is, this is why we need the Faster Labor Contract Act. It's just that simple, mm-hmm. right? If we had that in place, we would not be having this discussion. Right. They already have a contract in place. So Senate, if you're listening, you got to pass this thing, because we can't have this people being forced out on strike. And you guys are striking over
exactly
unfair labor.
Right. Yeah, I think the median time frame is like 2 years before
easily.
A contract.
Easily. And look at these guys. They're in a year and change.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is an unfair labor practice strike, right? You're saying bad faith bargaining. Have they fired any union supporters, Kyle?
Yes. Yeah, this is a ULP strike. And our first ULP was actually just over that. One of our bargaining committee members that was at the table with us, the company terminated over a completely bogus issue,
right.
A non-issue
yep.
for our facility. But yep. I wanted to send the message to everybody else that we will even fire your bargaining event.
So, I mean, this is what I don't get, Kyle. Right? You're going to give us voluntary recognition,
yeah,
and then you're going to turn around and hire, you know, a massive law firm. I'm not even going to give them the credence of naming them.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to.
Our listeners can probably guess who it is.
Yeah, but they make, what do they make? Mm-hmm. $900 an hour.
Yeah,
lawyers are making $900 an hour.
The company $900 an hour.
Yeah, more than Vivian makes per paycheck. In 1 hour,
yep.
Right? So, mm-hmm. So Vivian, you've been working there for 2 years,
yes.
Right?
Correct.
All right. What do you do?
I am an operator in the cart room, so I fill the cartridges and disposables and help package them.
Got it. And you make $19 and change an hour?
Correct.
And that's at the high end of the scale in Ascend, correct?
Yes, that is being an operator, and that department itself is already at a slightly higher pay scale for their base.
Okay, which is absurd. That's less than $20 an hour. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, you know, yeah. basically slightly above the poverty line. Now let's keep drilling down, right? You pay for your insurance, and you pay a large yes. portion for that insurance. So you told me off the air, you're paying $154 a paycheck.
And that is single.
For single coverage, the bare bones worst coverage that they offer, correct?
Bare minimum dental and vision, yes.
So the 300 and change a month goes directly mm-hmm. towards that. That's single bare bones mm-hmm. coverage, right? You can pay at Ascend, some people are paying $1,100 a month for family coverage, right, Kyle? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It comes out, it's 65% of the premium. So they're charging the employees 65% of the premiums. Companies picking up about 35% of the premiums for the insurance, yes.
All right, so this is what, wow. you know, you can't live on that.
No.
Okay, end of discussion, no. right? You simply can't live on that.
And they're a company with a $100 million market cap.
They're massive, right? they're not small. Drive yeah. around Chicago, you'll see their own dispensaries. You'll see them selling in other stores. Their product. It's not a small company, right? No. And it's a nationwide company, is it not, Kyle?
Yeah, no, it's a multi-state operational company. Yeah,
seven states, 51 locations.
Seven states, 51 locations.
Yeah.
Okay. And I can just right. tell, I can tell yep. you this, Ascend, if you're listening, you know, if this thing doesn't get settled soon, I will stand outside your store with a picket myself. But, you know, it's not to say that other trades and whatever, you mean, you know, I'm not going to shop at a place that doesn't treat their employees well.
Yeah, you'll take your business elsewhere.
Of course I will. I absolutely will take my business
elsewhere. And
that's
a lot elsewhere. Of business.
Thank you, Phil. Good one. Really good one.
And it's, I mean, it's not as though the products that these companies are selling are cheap. Not like you walk in and you walk out with like a bargain. Everything is pretty marked up in the state of Illinois. So these companies are making money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've never cried poor, have they?
No, they haven't claimed poor at the table at all. They know they have plenty of money to pay these workers better.
And why don't, like, I mean, what is this really, like, at the end of the day, why won't they just get a contract? Like, why would you continue to spend $900 an hour on lawyers and pay your people wages that, I got to imagine, is there turnover there, Vivian? Like, a lot of people turn it over?
Oh, goodness. Since I started, it's been thousands. Quite literally, there's been thousands of people that have come through the door since I started.
All right. In 2 years, there's 300 people, and thousands of people have turned over. Like, how is that a good business model?
Right.
Right? People
it's
can't.
Not. It's like, no, I know, maybe not. Pay your people better, and they'll stick around.
You think so, Phil?
Maybe. Call me crazy.
So I heard. Or maybe sign a good union contract.
Yeah.
Right? So this is a big deal, because in Teamsters land, Kyle, this is the first strike Teamsters, in my understanding, in a grow house, if you will, a cultivation center, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's actually the first strike in the country for cannabis worker in the cannabis industry, period. So.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's it. Oh, so, yeah. So whether it's a retail or these grow houses, this is the first one ever.
Yeah.
Well, and how long have you been out on strike?
Right.
10 days.
10 days. All right. And are you guys going back to the table? Is there any negotiation set?
We haven't had any communication from the company yet, reaching out for any dates to get back to the bargaining table. We have let them know that we're ready and put the word out that as soon as they're ready to come to us and ask us for dates, we'll meet them.
Well, and as well you should, because that's what's called bargaining in good faith, right? Like, not
good
trying
faith.
To. Yeah, that's
right?
Called good faith bargaining, right? Which
works.
Is what it's supposed to be.
Right.
But I'll tell you another thing. If the governor would sign the bill that allows striking workers to get unemployment benefits, then the company would have a much harder time starving them out. And I know, because I follow Teamsters, and we have a lot of Teamsters. As a matter of fact, you know, full disclosure, Local 916 is in the midst of onboarding, coming on board with the National Coalition of Labor. So we're super stoked to have
Yay.
You guys, and we appreciate that. Well, there's some clapping. But here,
July 1 was our date, start date with you guys. Yeah, July 1.
Oh, it already started. There you go. Who knew? So Teamsters are known for having a massive strike fund, right? And you guys are obviously not going to let these people stand out on the picket line and starve to death, right? So I'm assuming that you're giving them some sort of strike pay, correct?
Yeah, well, the IBT, General President O'Brien and General Secretary Treasurer Fred Zuckerman have done a phenomenal job with our strike fund and have put out now what is called the enhanced benefits. So workers out on strike right now, we started issuing checks yesterday, are receiving $1,000 a week. So we handed out over $227,000 worth of strike pay yesterday.
Yeah, so they're literally getting more money to stand out on the picket line than they would if they were working.
Absolutely.
Pretty much.
It's sad. I mean, it really is just sad. Listen, we wish you guys well. We hope the strike gets over soon. I will tell you this, once again, much like a Starbucks or a Trader Joe's, you see these, you know, progressive companies like, oh, you know, we're a progressive cannabis company, and, you know, welcome to our humble blah, blah, blah
utopia.
Cannabis facility. Yeah,
yeah,
this is utopia, but we're going to treat our workers like garbage, just like any other company, and we're going to pay them nothing and make them, you know, constantly look for other jobs and fight
spend
the
half
union.
Their paycheck on their health care.
It's disingenuous.
Right.
It drives me absolutely ballistic. And I also don't think, you know, especially for a company like Ascend, right? They're not a small company, like you said, Phil.
Yeah.
But they're also publicly traded.
Yep.
So I have an announcement to make. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Last week decided to buy 5 shares of Ascend stock, and that cost me like maybe 50 cents or a dollar. It wasn't particularly much, but it enabled me to become a shareholder.
You're a shareholder now.
And I demand right now, I'm demanding that the owners of Ascend, A, negotiate a fair contract, and B, stop spending our shareholder money on high-priced lawyers and not paying their workers, because I don't think that's a fiduciary. It doesn't sound like you're fulfilling your fiduciary responsibility to shareholders by union busting and paying all this money over here to not give these guys a livable wage.
It's a waste of company resources.
So now that I am a shareholder, I will be attending every single shareholder meeting. I'll be voicing my 5 stocks, right, which carry a large percentage of voting rights.
Count me in. I'm going to buy some shares myself.
You'll buy some shares?
Do they come with a discount card or anything fun like that?
Oof, I don't know. It's a good point. Like, hey, I'm a shareholder.
Yeah.
They just found themselves a new activist investor.
That's right.
I'm out for blood.
That's right. But I laugh. I kind of make fun of it, but I'm not. But I'm dead serious.
Yeah. Like,
I never see how a corporation can union bust or spend all this money on lawyers while not paying their workers a fair price, because I've done the math in negotiating contracts my entire life, and we ask for $100,000 and they spend $300 on lawyers.
Right.
How is that fiscally responsible? It's not, you know, and it doesn't make sense to me. So, Kyle, Vivian, any last words?
Yeah, you know, just to touch back on the healthcare, and you've made a great point, and I appreciate you getting that information out. But that's just to pay the premium.
Right.
These plans are also catastrophic plans with $10,000 deductibles. So
$10,000.
If you're on the family, if you're on the family plan, you're paying $22,000 a year out of pocket before you ever even have any health insurance.
I mean, they're basically making it impossible to work there. Right, if you have like one broken leg or one, you know, something that happens, you're bankrupt. Right, you're living paycheck to paycheck, and if they're a high deductible plan like that, which is basically like you're saying, it's catastrophic coverage. I forgot to mention that. I'm glad that you brought that up. That means that not only you're paying all this money for your premium, but if something happens to you, you're paying the first $10,000 of your medical bills. And guess what? You don't have $10,000 bucks. You know why? Because they're only paying you $19 an hour.
Yeah,
so it is a horrible catch-22.
I mean, not to mention I lost coverage on one of my prescriptions as well, which was an allergy medication, which I need because we're by live plants all day. So
good point, right?
Yeah. I'm also actually allergic to cannabis. It makes me makes my eyes red, and I get very sleepy.
I quit smoking for a month. Ed, I quit smoking weed for a month. Once, and it was the longest afternoon of my life. Hey-o. I know, listen, I could go on about weed jokes, but I'm not going to, because this is serious business. But listen,
it is. Yeah, we're
brother and sister. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to come on the show with us. If you are listening out there, feel free to call Ascend. Feel free to call the stores. Feel free to tell them that you're not going to shop there until these guys get a fair contract. I would strongly urge you to do that. Support these guys. They're fighting for not just, you know, their workers down there, but they're fighting for the working class. This is what this is about right now. So kudos to Local 916. Vivian, we wish you well. Stick with it. And if there's anything else we can do, please let us know. Thank you so much for coming on the air. We're going to be back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back to The Workers' Mic, powered by the NCL, right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher, here with Ken Edwards and Phil Davidson. And in that last segment, we had a business agent from the Teamsters Local 916 and an employee from Ascend, the cannabis company, talking through the first ever cannabis strike in the country. And that was...
They should change the name to Descend, because they're not really ascending up the pull of goodwill here in the, in Illinois, if you will.
You know, I think as we heard that story, and I would imagine this is the same for listeners, to work for a low wage here in the state of Illinois and then have to put, you know, a quarter of your monthly earnings into insurance
more
that you can't even use. Yeah. I mean, let's remember that insurance, she said that it was $22,000, I think, out of pocket before the coverage even kicks in.
For family, yeah.
You know, there are probably, I would bet, a lot of listeners that fall into a similar situation as that.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a name for them. It's called the working poor.
Yeah.
Right? You're working a full-time job, but you're paying for your benefits, and you literally just can't afford to eat. Therefore, you're going to drive for Uber, have to get a second job,
right,
spend time away from your family. And, you know, Ed, what happened to the American dream?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And there was a post on Instagram this week from the White House. I don't know if anybody sees these White House social media posts.
I blocked them because I felt like they were harassing me.
It gets a little bit insulting sometimes with the eagles and the helicopters,
yeah,
and the machine. Like,
the
just,
AI slop.
It's like, come on. But yeah, anyhow, yeah, the other day, the White House posted that two-thirds of U.S. residents say they have achieved the American dream. And I saw this and I was like,
Did they cite their sources on that?
They had a logo for the New York Post underneath, okay, which also says that Bigfoot is currently on the loose in, you know,
in
somewhere in the United States. But I wanted to take a look into this because they're saying that two-thirds of Americans say they've achieved the American dream. So I took a look at the most recent economic indicators.
How do you define American dream?
I don't know. But what I'm going to tell you
bought a Starbucks?
Is like, clearly not what anybody would define as the American dream. Right now, two-thirds of American consumers are living paycheck to paycheck.
Two-thirds.
And that's the same number that allegedly say they've achieved the American dream. 76% of American workers have no savings and have no money when their bills are paid.
Nothing.
Credit card delinquencies are at a 16-year high. So we're back to, like, Great Recession levels.
Yeah.
Except the unemployment right now is half of what it was back then. So,
but it's not.
Oh, I understand. But we're at 13% of people with credit cards are delinquent on them. 90-day auto delinquencies, 5%. And again, that's up with where it was at in 2010. Student loan delinquencies are over 10%. So if we're saying that two-thirds of Americans are living the American dream, but they're living paycheck to paycheck, they have no savings, and we have massive credit card, auto, and student loan debt, this isn't by people's choice or reckless living. These numbers are big enough that it is just a systemic economy-wide problem. And to paint this as though, like, look at the stock market's at a record, so America's doing good. You know, we've just got to understand that the rosy picture that's being painted sometimes out of D.C. does not reflect reality.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
No, I think that
all those people, I mean, look, it's a cabinet of oligarchs. Everyone there lives in a bubble and doesn't know what the cost of a gallon of gas is, doesn't know what the cost of a gallon of milk is.
They don't have to
do any of that.
Yeah, they are totally
detached from reality.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're right about that, Phil, and the American dream is working for the owners of the American dream.
Absolutely.
Meaning the companies, right? They want you to be in debt. They want you to have no money. They want working poor so they can pay less wages. And, you know, it goes back to where we have a discussion in a second about AI. But, you know, so the jobs report just came out, Ed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said last month that we added 50-some-odd thousand jobs. I take every single one of those reports now with a grain of salt because they keep getting redone and rebooted and whatnot. But A, that's a third of what it was the month before. They said, you know, lackluster job reports in the Wall Street Journal. And then another paper was like, you know, economy going great. Yeah. So it just depends on
the White House newsletter?
Yeah. the daily lie.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, well, unemployment's only 4.2%, but it's not. It's really actually closer to 9% because these are people that stop working, that work part-time, that, you know, just gave up, right?
It's always service jobs that are, whenever there is a decrease in unemployment, it's because of people going back to service jobs.
Going back.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So all these people that lost their jobs, from Doge and all this stuff, like, I understand government efficiency, but isn't there, it doesn't make any sense to me that we're getting to the point now where, like you said, Ed, people don't have savings anymore, or people have to pay so much for their health insurance that they can't afford it. You know, you said, and we joked about the World Cup a little bit in the beginning, but, and go America, but that we are the only nation that doesn't have universal
health care? We're the only nation represented in the World Cup that does not have universal health care for its residents.
Why? Why? Do we not afford it?
There's a lot of money to be made on health care, which falls in with what we just heard from Vivian, which falls in with what everybody out there can hear about or can attest with the price of drugs, the price of going to the doctor, the price of insurance.
What happened to all the assurances by this administration that, we were going to bring back all these jobs and, we're going to insource all this manufacturing and jobs.
Almost economy. Felt like that was lip service.
There was an announcement this week that said that the White House had made progress on, increasing affordability by promoting these right to fix your own car thing. Like there are laws in some places where you can't repair your own vehicle. You have to take it to a dealer. I mean, John Deere tractor was a big sort of violator of this back in the day, but that's how low it's gotten on enhancing affordability is. You can fix your own cars now. You don't have to take them to a shop. It's like we're in Cuba with an old 57 Chevy that now we're going to be able to just keep that baby sputtering along.
Because everybody's a mechanic.
Yeah. This isn't exactly what the what was promised, I think, in the campaigns. No. It doesn't look quite the same.
Well, it's our 250th anniversary, right? And I'm old enough to remember 1976, mm-hmm. right? It was our 200-year anniversary. And the feeling was so, so different, right? People were really proud, and there were fireworks and displays, and just you had a sense of like, I'm proud to be an American. American's going great, whatever.
Yeah, and now I'm participating in this economy
for sure. I have a middle class job. I have a house. I got a mortgage. I'm sending my kids to school.
Yeah,
like things are going okay. And now it just seems like, sort of read the room. Like half the states didn't participate in the, a celebration, if you will, on the Great Lawn or wherever it was at the White House because they couldn't afford to send people there.
Right.
Right. And it just seems like, I don't know, that the American dream is not being fulfilled. And for the first time, our kids are worried that they're not going to be able to get jobs, and they're coming out of school and moving back home or getting service industry jobs with $100,000 worth of debt. And now add in AI.
Yeah.
You were worried then? Right. Guess what? Guess what's coming down the pike?
That's right? For sure.
It's AI. And so we just had like a quasi-positive AI story. Right?
Chalk Ford. One up for the humans.
Yeah, go humans.
So there was news this week that Ford has been hiring back engineers because of the errors, the losses, and just sort of the failure of a lot of AI. So I'll take you through the story a little bit. About 3 years ago, Ford started to lay off a bunch of its senior engineers because they could do sort of like redesigns and quality control with AI models, was their opinion. And at that time, Ford CEO Jim Farley said, these jobs can be automated. It's going to be a huge leap forward for profitability for these companies, for all automakers, and this is the future. So here we are 3 years later. They took these AI models and had them redesign parts. And they never fed the knowledge of engineers into these models before they let all the engineers go.
Yeah.
So what they've experienced is higher recalls, higher warranty services. So they've been losing money, and they've been just scrambling to bring back a bunch of senior engineers who they now refer to as graybeard engineers, which is pretty funny. But
graybeard engineers.
Wiseman.
So what they also had to do is they set up a quality task force of 40 engineers who basically are going through and revising and fixing all the things that AI did over the last 3 years. And the CEO, Jim Farley, now is eating his own words and saying, we've saved hundreds of millions of dollars as a result of these checks on AI because we have fewer recalls, fewer warranty repairs, and for the first time ever, Ford is leading the quality, and I can't remember the name of the reports, but it's like an industry-wide you know, reliability report. They were at the top. And so he's talking about bringing back these jobs.
It's no longer fix or repair daily.
Right,
J.D. Power Associates.
I think it was J.D. Power. Forgive me, I couldn't. It was slipping my mind, but yeah. So this is good news. And again, like you hear these stories every now and then of some lawyer who walks into court and files a brief, and the judge is like, "None of these cases exist. Did you do this on ChatGPT?" Yeah. AI is not fully cooked. So to like trust one of America's largest industries with AI. You know, maybe it's not going to work. And in this case, it hasn't. And humans have come out on top and proven their worth again.
You were on Worker Wednesday last week, and John Hansen said to you, like, well, that is one for your camp. And your retort was, I thought, brilliant, which was, you mean the human camp?
Yes.
Human race?
I will always root for the humans.
Exactly.
That was pretty good.
I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a traitor to my own species.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
You came up with that on the spot, huh?
I mean, it's just how I feel.
He's seen Terminator 2 enough that he knows it's got to be inside the humans.
Yeah.
You make a good point, and that is that there's such a rush to push out AI and sell it and tell companies, like, you're going to save billions and trillions and gazillions of dollars because you're going to be able to replace employees with, you know, smart machines that can do the job and et cetera, et cetera. And you're right. It doesn't work. Look at every AI chat that you have, or now you pull something up at the bottom of the article, it says this was created by AI. AI makes mistakes. You should fact check this article.
Yeah.
Well, if I have to fact check the article, then I don't know. Maybe I should have not read the AI version to begin with, right? Or where am I going to fact check it? On the other AI website?
We all have to just, you know, as a society, remember this. And shareholders, like, quit chasing the almighty dollar at every turn in profitability, and understand that people's jobs are more important than you being able to buy another yacht. You know, like that's.
Or have it, look, Phil. Have the government step in and do what it's supposed to do, and that is, protect the American dream. You know, protect the American workers. It seems like that politicians, for the most part, simply cater to the people that give them money.
And it's going to get worse.
And the Supreme Court just lifted those caps. So now it's like,
for the parties.
Okay, great. Everybody can give more money.
Yeah.
And then they just gave Donald Trump the ability to fire more agency heads.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just, we're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. And now that all these tech oligarchs have, I mean, in Elon's case, I know it's depleted since, but at one point it was a trillionaire.
Yeah.
He can dump all that money into the Republican Party right now and completely upend politics as we know it if he wants to, which is just
Money wins elections.
Right.
Well, we saw this past week in New York, there were several candidates, Mamdani-backed candidates that are, I think they're Democratic Socialists, that were beating sort of the establishment Democrats. And Democrats nationally are terrified by this, and Republicans are just calling it communism, which, you know, not the same thing, but splitting hairs here. But what it really says, I think, is that this flavor, I'm not anti-capitalism with a broad brush, but this flavor of capitalism is not working for most of Americans. So
doesn't taste good.
Yeah. If you as a Republican or as a Democrat don't want people going off into this democratic socialist camp where you start asking for more of the government, which, you know, is it right, wrong? There's sense to be made of it, but, then make capitalism work. Make a better argument for the kind of capitalism we're going to have here. Because if it's all just money goes to the top and everybody else loses their food, their jobs, their ability to provide for their families, like, don't expect people to fight for that.
No,
and it's going to implode, and we're going to have class war.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's got to come to that. So either somebody's going to step in and fix this, or literally it's going to be class war. Go drive around here. There is a Dollar General store on every block.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Every single block.
And the parking
block.
Lots are full.
Totally full, because mm-hmm. that's about all people can afford.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't make financial sense to shop there, because you're getting less per dollar or whatever it is, I think. But that's what we're getting to. There's empty storefronts, right? I went to return something at a mall the other day, and there were two stores left in the mall, Kohl's and Old Navy. The rest of the entire mall was completely empty. Completely empty. So, I mean, we got to do something here, you know? I don't know.
Yorktown and Lombard, which is close to where I live, they, during COVID, a lot of stores were leaving the malls and everything. So they came up with the brilliant idea to turn it into a dog mall.
A dog mall?
You can bring your dog to the mall. Okay. They have lots of, like, dog stores. They have a place where you can, like, let your dog run around. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird, but I'll be very honest. If it's, like, really cold or really hot or rainy, I'll take my dog there sometimes and walk her around. Because it's a unique thing, but
what's your dog's name?
My dog's name is Ellie.
Ellie's living the American dream,
that's
but nobody
right.
else
yeah,
is.
No one else is.
She really is. She lives pretty good.
Maybe they pull dogs when they ask about how you live the American dream. Yeah. Dogs love it.
I could use another bowl of water, but other than that, things are looking up.
I get fed every day. I got pet.
I can love myself.
I don't have to worry about bills. You know, whatever. All right, listen. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna wrap up the show right here on 720 WGN. The Workers' Mic.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'll give you some good news. There was a tornado. There's been tornadoes around the Midwest.
Yep.
Recently, one of the NCL members' house was lost in a tornado.
Oh, no.
And so he had... You know, he had a home loan, a mortgage, obviously, and a home equity loan as well, and has no house. Right, the whole thing is flattened. Yeah. So our credit union took it upon themselves. Nobody asked. They just took it upon themselves to say, you know what? This brother is struggling, and let's just put those loans on pause so he can get up on his feet. And eventually either insurance will cover it, right, which will get paid, or he'll build a house again, either one. But they simply did it. And
that's great.
And that makes you feel good. It makes you feel proud to be in a union.
Is that a board decision?
Yeah.
It's a board decision. Yeah. And, you know, and for everybody out there, don't call the credit union and say, I lost everything at the casino and I'd like you to stop my loan because it's not that.
Right? Yeah, this was a tornado.
Yeah.
This is true hardship.
Yeah. And so they did that. And yeah, it's a board decision. But, you know, it should make you feel good.
It does.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the credit union treats people like people.
Yep.
You know, look. You have a catastrophic, you know, problem, like you lose your house or it's a fire or whatever it is, and you're dealing with the insurance company anyway. But if the bank says, well, you know, pay me, and so you say, okay, I'll tell you what, no, and repossess my former house. Mm-hmm. take that plot of land that's charred up.
Yeah, enjoy the shingles.
Yeah. Whatever. So, anyway, I thought that was good news.
The MCL Credit Union is, you know, it's a good option. It's better than a bank. And if you're a worker and you're part of the coalition, check it out. They do the right thing.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of positive out there. And, you know, sometimes you got to search it out.
Unions always have each other's backs.
I think we need to do a better job of getting the word out.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're trying desperately. I know, like, we got the Proud Union Warrior guys, and we got Proud Union Guy, and you know, we got this other Union Guy.
Union Money.
Yeah. It's like there's a ton of, like, now TikTokers that are going, hey, joining the trades are good. And that's a great thing,
it
right? Because my algorithm is starting to pick up some of those things.
For sure. The American dream is struggling. So the argument for unions has never been more important because we're still out here making sure that people can afford to live, afford their health care, can afford to retire someday.
Ed, here's a real live example that we learned last week, and that was the whole country's under a massive heat wave, right? massive heat wave. You have to hydrate. You have to take a water break, right? You have to take a heat break. Those clauses are in contract after contract after contract, right? Unions are making sure that our members are safe. I didn't hear about a single, knock on wood, death or heat-related incident this past week. Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean it didn't happen, but I didn't hear one. Texas, of course, banned some of their municipalities from mandating water breaks. Right. They didn't say, you know, they're illegal. They just banned the municipality from mandating that you take a 10-minute water break. You imagine living in Texas and you know, you can't take a water break.
Texas,
I mean,
sun, yeah.
So
that's water, boys. Yeah. No, it ain't.
Yeah. So these are the things that unions do, and basically, quite frankly, the humans should do. But listen, go United States. Let's crush Belgium. And bring home the trophy? Is it?
The World Cup.
The World Cup.
Yes.
Thus the name.
Indeed.
Like it.
Figure that one out.
Is it every 4 years?
It sure is.
Okay.
We got a new soccer fan, folks.
I'm all in. All in this year. All right, listen, we'll be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.